Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Bexar County continues to lead the nation and the state in the number of people suffering from diabetes. The Metropolitan Health District's annual report outlined that we've got 15% of people in Bexar County. That leads the nation by 5% of the population with diabetes. County health officials are placing their bets on a free lifestyle-changing courses and new public health campaign that'll hope that'll make a difference. They're also trying to make soda and other sugary drinks public enemy number one. If you're ready to drop the pop at this 4th of July weekend and drink water or unsweetened drinks, we want to hear from you. Why do you think San Antonio is having such a hard time adopting healthy habits? And if we don't make some changes, we're looking at some really terrible outcomes. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 614-8980. You can email us your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org, and you can write directly on our show page on our website at tpr.org. We're joined this half hour by Dr. Thomas Schlenker. He's the director of the Metropolitan Health District, and also we're joined by one of the leading experts in diabetes research, Dr. Ralph DeFronzo. He's the chief of the Diabetes Division at the UT Health Science Center and Deputy Director of the Texas Diabetes Institute at the University Health System. Welcome to The Source, both of y'all.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So let me ask you first, Dr. Thomas Schlenker, why does Bexar County, why are we leading that terrible chart and the most people with diabetes?
Well, I think there's more than one reason. One obvious one is we're a predominantly Hispanic city. And Hispanics have particularly bad genetic material for developing diabetes. But then I also think we have a culture here that is not helpful relative to physical activity and especially nutrition.
So it's the big red.
The big red, sugary drinks in general, Tex-Mex food, I think
flour
it all
tortillas.
Militates against us, yeah.
Okay, all right. So let me ask you, Dr. DeFronzo, you are leading the research and trying to figure out how to deal with these really bad consequences of diabetes. So what are some areas that are showing some promise?
Well, I think that the biggest advance in the last decade has been the number of medications that are available for the treatment of type 2 diabetes. I hate to say this, but in general, we actually have done a very poor job at getting people to lose weight and exercise. And if we could do that, of course, that would take care of a large burden that we have to deal with in terms of controlling the glucose and the lipid levels and the blood pressure. But it's very difficult for people with diabetes to lose weight. There are certain hormones in our body that turn off our appetite. Things like leptin, amylin, PYY, there are three or four other hormones. And diabetics don't respond well to these hormones. So these signals that say you're satiated, you're full, don't work correctly in diabetics. And so they actually have a very difficult time losing weight. And then there's some hormones such as ghrelin that send a signal for you to eat. And these hormones are very high. So for all of you out there who think it's difficult losing weight, there's a real reason physiologically why it's difficult. And we now know that the best way to get people to lose weight is to combine a healthy lifestyle, but with medications that will turn off your appetite. And there are a number of them that have been approved recently by the Food and Drug Administration, but the problem is they're fairly expensive and not easy for our patients to take.
So, Dr. Schlenker, what are we looking at in San Antonio as far as the consequences of people not with high percentage of folks here who have diabetes? What's the consequences of that?
Well, the long term consequences are pretty horrible. It is the cause of death, really, in many people with long term diabetes, and the final stages are blindness, loss of kidney function, having to go on dialysis, and loss of blood supply to your extremities so that you have serial amputation. So it's pretty much horrible at its end stages.
So we've seen people, amputations of first for toes and then further up other parts of extremities, and eventually this will lead to an early death.
Yes, yes.
And so, and of course, this is, has a high cost for, you know, of course, the family losing loved ones, but also for our society, and just it's a huge toll on our community.
Well, you can imagine the medical costs are enormous, but then you have relatively healthy-looking 40-year-old men who are out there building houses and paving highways, and all of a sudden their foot goes numb and they go in to see the doctor and they end up with an amputation and they can no longer support their families, they can't work. The social consequences are enormous.
How many people out there in San Antonio, you think, are percentage-wise, are diabetic but don't know it?
Well, that's a good question. I would think a lot, a lot. I don't have a number on that, but with about 14% of the total adult population being diagnosed with diabetes, you can assume that there are an awful lot out there who aren't aware. And with a lot of people who don't have any medical insurance and don't see a doctor regularly, they just don't know what level of trouble they're in.
And so, Dr. DeFranzo, when it comes to treating somebody who is pre-diabetic versus actual full-blown diabetic, what's the difference?
Yeah. So we know that for every person who carries the diagnosis of diabetes, there are at least two people with pre-diabetes. So as you just heard, this is a huge problem here. Now, personally, we would like to see the people with pre-diabetes and start treating them before they develop diabetes. In my opinion, pre-diabetes is diabetes. They just don't meet the criteria that the American Diabetes Association has set for the diagnosis of diabetes. But they have all of the physiologic abnormalities that are present in diabetics. And we know that people with pre-diabetes, about 10% of them already have eye disease. Another 15% already have peripheral neuropathy that leads to amputations. And another 10 to 15% already have leaking protein in the urine, which is an indicator of kidney disease. So I would say at the Texas Diabetes Institute, you can walk in and get your blood sugar level checked, and you can get what's called an A1C check, which gives you an indication of your blood sugar over the last 3 months. And it costs nothing. It's free. You don't even have to call. You can just walk in, and we'll do the test. We actually have a number of studies that are ongoing now to define what's the best treatment for people with pre-diabetes. And if those of you are out there listening, if you want to call and say, look, I want to come in, the number is 358-7200, and we'll tell you what I'm already telling you. Just come on down. If you want your blood sugar checked, then we like you to fast overnight. But for the A1C value, you can come in anytime during the day, and we'd be more than happy. It's a service that we give to all the people in San Antonio free of charge.
Okay, we're going to continue this conversation. We're talking about the epidemic of diabetes in San Antonio, what can be done about it. The Bexar County Metropolitan Health District is working on a new public service campaign trying to get people to make some healthy changes to their lifestyle, stop drinking sugary drinks. That's number one. We're going to talk more about that. We're going to get to some of our phone calls. If you want to join the conversation, the number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Is it time that San Antonio really got serious about dealing with diabetes? This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. The rate of diabetes in San Antonio is very high, approximately 14% to 10% of compared to 10% of Texas and 9% in the entire United States. And so San Antonians with diabetes are much more likely to progress with serious complications, including kidney failure, blindness, amputations, than anywhere else in Texas and the United States. We're talking about diabetes here on The Source and getting ready for a new public service campaign from the Bexar Metropolitan Health District. We invite you to join the conversation. The number is 210-614-8980. We do have a lot of calls to get to, so let's get them on the air. Armando, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. Yes, I was definitely warned by my doctor that my sugar level was going up. This is about 3 years ago, and I gave up sodas. I haven't drank sodas for 3 years, but I do know also that it's a cultural change and it's a lifestyle change. You have to cut the carbs. That's huge. Cut the sugars almost in everything. cut the sugary drinks, even the juices. If you look at how much sugar are in those drinks, it's tremendous. And yes, it's a big challenge, and that's why you have to do it with hopefully the guidance of a good doctor, especially if you have a spouse like my spouse and I. We started losing weight. We started watching what we buy, especially we noticed the effects on our children. It was pretty incredible how they started losing weight, feeling healthier. And I think that, it's possible, but when you're, it's got to be a family effort, too. It really does.
Armando.
It's educating.
Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. So how are you doing now? How are you feeling now?
Fantastic. Better than I ever have.
All right. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate that.
Sure.
So, Dr. Schlinker, stop drinking the sugary drinks. So that's where you guys are going with this new campaign. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that is not a silver bullet that solves all your problem, but it's a logical first step for most people. And it's surprising to know that two-thirds of our entire adult population in San Antonio drinks soda every day. So what can you do to start? You can stop drinking soda every day, find a healthy alternative for that. But like the caller said, then it's a long journey, and it's not easy. There are many things to consider. And he's fortunate that he has a family that's helping him, helping each other do it together. That's one thing we find in public health is that a lot of people can't do it alone. They need social support. They need interaction with other people who are in the same boat. That, I think, is a key to success.
Dr. DeFronzo, chief of the diabetes division at UT Health Science Center, earlier we were talking about pre-diabetes and how many people in San Antonio don't even know they're diabetic or don't even know that they're on the road to diabetes. How would someone start to suspect that they may be pre-diabetic?
Now, first of all, I think if you're Hispanic, that's a big signal. If you have parents, one or two parents in particular with diabetes, or you have siblings with diabetes, I would say you should be down at the Texas Diabetes Institute so we can check your glucose, and that should be enough. But there are also some other high-risk characteristics. So if you're a woman and you develop diabetes during your pregnancy, it's called gestational diabetes, and then after you deliver your baby, the diabetes goes away. You're very, very high risk to develop diabetes. Women who deliver big babies, individuals who have hypertension or have abnormal lipids, these are all also signals. But I would say Hispanic then being overweight, another big problem in family history. Now, acanthosis nigricans, these black little spotches that people have on their neck, is also a signal, but it doesn't occur, quite frankly, all that commonly. But if you see it, then you ought to be concerned that you're also at risk for develop diabetes.
So if you bruise easily and you're slow to heal on bruises, is that a sign?
No, easy bruising, it's not really a sign that I would put up there to suspect that you have diabetes or pre-diabetes. It's really Hispanic community people. It's being overweight and having a family history of diabetes. So I put those three at the top.
Okay, back to the phones. Bonnie has called in. Bonnie, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. This discussion never seems to address the economies involved in developing diabetes, the economies of a starch-based diet. How, for people of limited means, that's their most affordable calorie source. Conversely, for corporate America, it is the most profitable food source to put forth, like sugary drinks.
Okay, Bonnie. Thank you for your call. We appreciate that. That's a diet that some people have called the food stamp diet as well, because you buy a lot of products that are very starchy and you fill up on. Does that lead to diabetes, Dr. Schlinker?
Well, I think it certainly is associated with obesity, without a doubt. And a great proportion of our fast food industry is based on that kind of starchy food that combines levels of salt and fat and sugar that make it irresistible, but it's killing us. And the ironic thing is that our own government is supporting that kind of food with subsidies to the sugar industry. So it's kind of a vicious circle. Our obesity rate in The United States has doubled in the past 20 years or so. So it's really out of control, and a large part of it is because of our diet.
So obesity is one of the risk factors, leads to cardiovascular disease and diabetes.
Absolutely. So there are a lot of misconceptions about diet, but I think we just heard the key thing. A calorie is a calorie is a calorie. You take in too many calories in the types of foods here in San Antonio in the Hispanic community are very calorically dense. You gain weight, you become obese. That is a huge, huge risk factor for cardiovascular disease. Taking in carbohydrate per se, if you were to take it in you know, reasonable amounts, is not a risk factor for diabetes, to bring the diabetes on. If you have diabetes and then you start drinking carbohydrate drinks, that's a huge problem. But there are a lot of calories in that, you know, Dr. Pepper or whatever, Big Red. That's the real problem, obesity, as was pointed out.
But when you drink a sugary drink, I mean, you're flooding your system with a lot of sugar all at once. And it's very difficult for your liver to keep up with all that, and so it does kind of, you know, spike your blood sugar?
No, you don't spike your blood sugar. If you don't have diabetes and you're normally healthy and you drink a lot of a sugary drink, your body will dispose of it. The problem is if you take in too much of that sugary drink, you become obese. And it's the obesity that becomes a problem. So when you become obese, you develop fat, you put fat into your muscle. Your muscle now doesn't respond to the insulin, become insulin resistant. You put fat in your liver. Your liver becomes resistant to insulin. You put fat in your beta cells. Those are the cells that secrete insulin. Your beta cells stop working. You put fat in the arteries, you have a heart attack or a stroke. So the real problem in this state leading up to the diabetic state is obesity, okay? It makes all of the physiologic control mechanisms go awry in your body. Now, on top of that, if you develop diabetes and you start taking in simple sugars, now that becomes a total disaster because your body simply can't handle sugars. Your sugar's already high if you're diabetic. You can't be putting more sugar into the body.
What about alcohol?
Alcohol in moderation is okay. It's still the calories. So if you have, a glass of wine at night, there's nothing wrong with that. You need to recognize there are calories in that glass of wine. So if you're going to take a glass of wine, you need to cut back something else to make sure you're taking in not excess amount of calories.
Back to the phone lines. Andrea has called in. Andrea, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, hello. Thanks for taking my call. Really think that the big epidemic here in San Antonio and in the state of Texas that's behind this, to me, is still the lack of access to quality health care for many of our, especially our impoverished children here in San Antonio, which is a population that I work closely with. And the other point that I'd like to make is that even though I am fortunate enough to have always had access to health care, I have rarely had contact with a doctor who even brings up nutrition as an important aspect of preventative health care. Maybe that's changing. I hope it is. Thank you.
All right, Andrea, thanks for calling in. So, Dr. Schlenker, tell me about the campaign. What are you going to do? We're going to see commercials, things on buses. What's the deal?
Oh, well, our slogan at this point is soda, no thank you. Because what we've seen over the past few years is that a large number of people in San Antonio are breaking the daily soda habit
and
all by themselves.
Sweet tea.
Well, we don't have information on that. But, of course, those are calories too. But we do have some very valid scientific information that's focused on soda. And people are drinking less of it. Specifically, they're not drinking it every day. So we want that trend to continue. So we are coming up with very creative ways to try to get that across. One of our first steps is try to suggest alternatives you can make at home in your own kitchen out of tap water that tastes good, are healthy for you, and are much less expensive than soda. And we're going to base a pretty spectacular campaign on that you'll be seeing soon.
Like what? What's a healthy alternative made from tap water?
Well, you know, we're here in southern Texas, and it's almost Mexico, so a lot of these are traditional Mexican drinks that you can make from fruits and herbs. Jamaica is one of my favorite. A lot of people like horchata. There's jugo de melon. There's jugo de fresa. So many different things you can. And plain old lemonade is absolutely delicious.
Right, but you don't have the glossy, flashy marketing and the TV commercials and the people jumping off of mountains.
Hey,
and
all I things. Need is $3 billion and we'll be fine.
All right, well, we don't have that. We're going to have to rely on people realizing that this is for their best self-interest. This is for their health. Step away from the big red and get healthy. The number. This is The Source on KSTX. I want to thank our guest who joined me this afternoon, Dr. Thomas Schlenker. He is the head of the health department, and also Dr. Ralph DeFranzo at the UT Health Science Center. This is The Source on KSTX.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.